Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the Happier Happy Hour, rolling into it, Dom, with a fine guest who's joined me here in the Mad Radio Studios, Solidarity Realty Studios. She is Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, a fine Dem, a friend of the Devil's. Welcome back, Melissa. It's been far too long.
It's been a while, and certainly the first time in this studio. It's amazing.
It is a new studio. I can hear the party going on in State Street right now. Melissa, we're going to get out amongst the people more often. It's been a busy year for us, a busy year for you, I'm sure. Before we jump into some of the sidelights, let's talk about the legislative agenda happening right now at the Capitol. The Republicans, are they solving any problems today, Melissa? My understanding is they've got some childcare propositions that are different than the governor and the Democratic propositions.
So I would not say that the Republicans are solving problems for the ordinary people of the great state of Wisconsin. I think, frankly, they are making problems for us. As you pointed out, the governor has called for a special session here in the state of Wisconsin to address our workforce crisis, a big part of it being access to childcare. And the Republicans are doing nothing about it. They want to lower the age of childcare teachers and increase the number of kids in a classroom. I don't know about you, but it was hard enough for me to drop my kids off at childcare. This isn't going to solve the problem in the state of Wisconsin. It's not going to keep centers open, and it's not going to help families believe that this is the right place for their kids.
Melissa, what is the Republican proposition? Not that I'm asking you to advocate for it, but what is their proposition? Where do you think they're missing the mark?
Well, Governor Evers has proposed extending and investing in the Child Care Counts program, which is proven. We know that kept child care facilities open, that it supported the workforce behind the workforce, our child care providers. It supported families and business owners in Wisconsin. It works. Why not continue going down the path of something that is proven to work? Instead, the Republicans have put out confetti bills that will increase the number of kids that are in a classroom, that will lower the age of the child care providers. These are not solutions to the child care crisis in the state of Wisconsin. They're not going to keep doors open for centers. And we have heard from child care providers and from families that this is terrifying, the Republican proposals. And they want us to move forward with the Child Care Counts program. The governor called for the special session. And I just wish that I could say that my Republican colleagues have learned a lesson after time and time again of gaveling in and gaveling out within record seconds. I'm not sure that this is going to be taken any differently, but clearly Governor Evers and Democrats are working for Wisconsin and wanting to ensure that our families and businesses have what it needs to be successful and that we're taking care of our kiddos, right? Like, we all care about one another's kids here in Wisconsin.
Well, I hate to worry about the feelings of our governor, but this is intended disrespect when they fail to take up his special sessions and perhaps they believe in these same issues. Certainly their constituents believe there has to be some sort of childcare remedy. Whether or not they offer viable solutions, that's a different thing. But the failure to use the governor's special session, this is just meant to disrespect Governor Evers, is it not?
Well, we know that, you know, even to the point that it's engraved on the ceiling of the governor's conference room, the will of the people should be the law of the land. People in Wisconsin want us to take care of our kids. They want women to have reproductive freedoms. They want us to legalize weed, for God's sakes. They want water to not have PFAS. They want us to protect our schools. They want us to all be safe from gun violence. That's Wisconsin's values. Those aren't Democratic values or Republican values. Those are Wisconsin values. And the majority party here in the state of Wisconsin, at least the folks that hold the majority of the seats in the Capitol, I don't call them the majority party. They're out of touch.
Well, Melissa, they do have a gerrymandered legislative control, especially over the Senate side. In fact, they've got a two-thirds supermajority, despite the fact they get less than 50% of the overall votes here in the state of Wisconsin. That gives them the power, air quotes, to consider impeachment, and they are starting to flex their muscle. Our understanding, Republicans in caucus today, taking up consideration of whether or not to impeach a Supreme Court justice who has yet to rule on a single case. But if she doesn't recuse herself, well, they're going to strip her. And of course, conservatives have shown their hypocrisy on this. Bradley didn't vote for the recusal rules, but she bemoans the fact her colleague won't recuse. Well, none of them recused. We remember Prosser. We remember the history here. So where do you think we stand on this impeachment? And do you think it will be taken up? Will we have a Senate trial of Janet Protasiewicz?
Well, you know, I'm here to tell you that my Republican colleagues are not coming into my office and letting me know what their plans are. That's probably not a big news flash for y'all.
Maybe if you offered them a spotted cow, Melissa.
Or a trip down to South Beloit. But if the Republicans...
We know the way.
But if the Republicans in the state legislature decide to impeach Justice Protasiewicz before she's even ruled on any sort of case, it's an affront to democracy, not just in Wisconsin, but across the nation. And we will see people rile up and stand up and demand accountability. It will, again, take another chip out of the block of the Republican Party. Their base will continue to walk away from them. Justice Protasiewicz simply stated the facts when she was running for office, facts that have been quoted by Republicans and Democrats, facts that have been quoted by people who hate politicians. The numbers and the science behind it, Wisconsin is a gerrymandered state. And gerrymandering to the point that it is affecting the Republicans' ability to push policy through the Capitol building at the expense of what the people of Wisconsin want. Even issues that the majority of Republicans want us to take action on are not moving forward simply because Democrats and Governor Evers raise their hands in agreement with them. That's not democracy. And it is absolutely terrifying and, I think, an affront to what our nation was built on, that Robin Voss is leading this charge against Janet Protasiewicz like a two-year-old having a temper tantrum because they can't have ice cream for dinner. This is not okay. And I
want two scoops, Bob.
It's the wrong flavor, right? I wanted the blue ice cream, not the white ice cream. So we need to stand up. And, you know, it's time for the people of Wisconsin to make sure the phones are ringing in the Capitol and letting the elected officials know that they are our bosses, because that's the way it stands. The good people of the state of Wisconsin are the bosses of the elected officials, and they need to hold us accountable. It's time to hold us accountable.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. That is Melissa Agar. She is the Wisconsin State Senate Minority Leader and a friend of ours. Melissa, thanks for coming around. Great to see you again. We talked about it earlier. Got a text also. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, announced they're going to put about $1 million in. They're going to combine forces with some other groups to spend about $4 million, you know, educating Wisconsin on the malfeasance of the Republicans. Number one, what do you think about, you know, that effort by the Democratic Party? And number two, if this goes down as it seemingly might, do we shut it down? What is the proper reaction when there is an affront upon democracy again by Republicans, this time not January 6th, but here in Wisconsin? What do we do? Literally, what is the practical activities that we need to engage in if that goes down?
Yeah. So, you know, we are seeing the fact that the Republicans in Wisconsin, led by Robin Voss, are once again trying to change the rules of the state of Wisconsin because they don't like the rules and they're not serving them anymore. And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, the good people of the state of Wisconsin are the folks that need to be in charge. I think that what Ben is doing with the Democratic Party, raising alarms educating people on what's happening. No one twisted the arms of over a million voters in Republican districts to vote for Justice Protasiewicz in this race. This was a decision that was between individuals and themselves and their ballot boxes. And the fact that Speaker Voss is so terrified of the people of Wisconsin having their voices heard, he wants to change the rules so that elections don't matter anymore. And frankly, here in Wisconsin, we're not going to stand for that. And people across the nation are watching.
Melissa, the issue of reproductive rights, obviously, it was a big part of why so many came out to the polling places in April, and probably part of the reason Protasiewicz won by 11 points. But the dynamic hasn't changed. Abortion is still illegal. We haven't seen any rulings from the courts yet that might be coming down the pike. I'm sure Robin Voss and the Republicans would like to exclude Protasiewicz from that ruling as well. But let me ask you, there has been talk of some sort of legislative compromise. Republicans seemingly just electorally need to blunt this issue. I mean, while women have no rights, they're angry. They vote in force. They're not going to vote Republican. They see them as the agents of this bad policy. Do you see any compromise on this issue, any legislative solution? I mean, I've heard perhaps exceptions for rape or incest, but Evers doesn't think that goes nearly far enough, correct?
There is no compromise. My body, my choice. And I will stand with women and reproductive bodies in the state of Wisconsin until they have the ability to make their own personal health care decisions. These decisions should involve no one other than the individual and their doctor if they choose to consult their doctor through that process. And the legislature has no business being involved in that. It is a continued chipping away at personal autonomy in the state of Wisconsin. And if people don't think that after reproductive freedoms being attacked, that people aren't going to be attacked for other situations in their lives, they're sorely wrong. We've already seen bills being introduced that will directly impact trans people in the state of Wisconsin. We are a state that, frankly, does not accept this. And people are running away from the Republican Party because they are no longer the party of liberty and freedom. They are the party of infringement. And putting their thumb down on each of us to be able to make the decisions for ourselves is not a place for government. And frankly, when I say these words, I wonder, this sounds like the Republican Party of decades ago. But, you know, Democrats stand for individual liberties and freedoms and government getting out of the way.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, State Senator Melissa Agard. She is the minority leader of Fine Dem. She'll stick around. I hope you do as well.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devils Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Wisconsin State Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard sticking around for another segment. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate you doing so. You know, I was reflecting on one of the first times we met. I think you must have been recently elected. We just started doing a radio show, and you were the first one, Melissa, of the people we asked to ever answer the question properly. Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. And now we fast forward to now. We look around Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, hell, even Iowa, you can get some medicinal weed. Melissa, where do we stand now, and what do you think the hangup is?
Well, we know in Wisconsin that the most dangerous thing about weed is that it is illegal, and we are certainly an island of prohibition. With Minnesota right next door becoming the 23rd state in the nation for responsible adult usage policy, we know now that the majority of the people in our nation now have access to legal weed. People in Wisconsin live within, over 50% of them live within 70 minutes of a legal dispensary. And as soon as Minnesota starts opening up their dispensaries, that time is going to go down because that's a pretty long border. And we have a super successful illicit industry market here in the state of Wisconsin as well. So, you know, what is the hang up? That was your question. It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. And here's another example that we've already talked about a number of them, whether it's child care access or allowing our Supreme Court justices to do the work that they were elected to do with mandated margins or abortion access. Republicans in Wisconsin are completely out of touch when it comes to cannabis legalization.
But who's behind that? Sorry to interrupt, Senator. Mm-hmm. Is it the Tavern League, the pharmaceutical industry? Do we see some lobbying interest? I mean, this cannot possibly be of their own volition. Half these guys probably smoke weed.
Well, many of them, I imagine, do use cannabis in one way or another. But in the same way that in Wisconsin, people want us to expand badger care, and we're not doing that. In the same way that people want us to protect our land, air, and water, and we're not doing that. I'm not confident that it is a specific boogeyman, other than it's the Republican Party of Wisconsin and their out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats. And folks, people in Wisconsin are waking up to this. They're sick of it. And we have a super exciting election in 2024 where we have an opportunity to change direction. And we know that over 50% of even self-identified Republicans in Wisconsin support legal weed. So we're going to get it done. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and what the details are. And we have Republicans in the Capitol building talking about cannabis policy. But folks, this is the Devil's Advocate radio show. The devil is in the details with all policymaking. Y'all know that. So don't get too excited about what you see without looking at the details.
Could the federal government lead on this issue if they reschedule cannabis? Would that have any impact, do you think, on the Republican caucus and their perception? Because right now it's classified like it's a narcotic, like it's no upside, no possible use, medicinally or otherwise. And that, of course, we know is not true.
Yeah, so the federal government, under President Biden's direction, is looking at rescheduling cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. And we saw some pretty exciting news last week that looks like we are moving in the right direction for that. If they would reschedule at the federal level to Schedule 3, research and development could happen on cannabis. And there would also be less taxing in legal states as well. Now, we would still have the tension because the federal government cannot legalize cannabis through the administration. It needs to go through congressional action. And Congress is continuing to stand in the way. We have too many old white men ruling our state and our nation. I think ultimately that is the reason why we don't have legal weed.
Melissa, you're a parent. I'm a parent. Dom's a parent. We joked, or at least I teased a little, always a good feeling getting the kids out to school one last time. That first day of school is a great feeling. Well, let's talk about marijuana policy. Being the devil's advocate for just a moment, Melissa, what do you tell your own kids in regards to marijuana use and your attitudes towards their use, if I may ask?
Absolutely. So the bill that I've drafted that I've been a champion for over 10 years has an age restriction of 21. I know that our kids' bodies and brains are still developing until they're in their mid-20s. And it's important for all of our kids to get good sleep and eat healthy food and get good exercise and put their screens down. And I feel the same way when it comes to access to cannabis. In states that have legalized cannabis, we've actually seen no increase, and in some states, a slight decrease in youth usage, because you can actually have educated conversations with your kids and talk to them about the effects of cannabis on their bodies. In the same way that probably we don't want our young children swearing or drinking wine or smoking a cigar, we don't want them smoking cannabis.
Well, they got different rules at Dom's house.
Melissa Agard, Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader. So obviously you said we have an election coming up next year. Where do you think we have an opportunity? Pare down on that. What are you talking about? What opportunities do you think we can take advantage of?
Yeah, well, a big part of it is the fact that the road to the White House is going to be right through the state of Wisconsin. It has been for many presidential election cycles. And people need to be paying attention to whether or not they want someone who's actually standing up for the working class, our unions and our families and our kids' future, or if they want to be voting for a party that's throwing temper tantrums and looking for self-preservation and destruction. We know that the re-election of Tammy Baldwin is important and the potential of creating more balance in the state legislature if we can get those new maps, if the Republicans stop trying to rig the system and throw temper tantrums because they're not getting their way. Quite frankly, I believe that we have a very good chance to have 33 senators and 99 assembly members up for re-election next fall, which would create a more fair and less rigged system for all of us.
I like that idea. Melissa Agard, the minority leader currently here at the state Senate, that could change with new maps. Melissa, thank you so much for coming around.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Some time for your phone calls right now. Dial them up. 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Wednesday happier happy hour. Always happy when Melissa Agard comes around. She is a fine state senator from right here in the great city of Madison, Wisconsin. She was in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studios. Dom, we appreciate her coming round. And we got another fine guest joining us at 5:50 today. She lives in the 3rd Congressional District. And if you look at the back of your left hand, like Russ Feingold used to do it, that's over by the pinky, and then kind of ducks up to like Wisconsin Rapids area for some unknown gerrymandered reason.
Right.
But effectively, it's mostly along the river, mostly in the southwestern portion of Wisconsin. Then there's that jut out. I have a mole there, so I kind of call that, you know, the jut out of the 3rd CD. But anyways, why was I bringing that up? Oh, yeah, because we've got a candidate running for Congress in the 3rd CD. Tara Johnson, she joins us soon. You can join
another
us
candidate
right now. 844-967-2789. We know it's not going to be Deb McGrath. We know it's not going to be State Senator Brad Paff. Both of them ran for the seat the last time. Now, Paff won the primary, lost the general to Derek Van Orden, about a 4-point swing. He felt unsupported by the DCCC, the campaign mechanism of the congressional Democrats. And, you know, perhaps with good reason. They didn't spend any money to support this guy late in the race. And this had been a Democratic seat for a long time under Ron Kind, planting seed corn for a long time in that district.
He's a big seed corn planter, that Ron Kind.
And Ron had endorsed Brad Paff. And Brad made it through the primary over Deb McGrath and Rebecca Cook, but didn't have enough to get over Van Orden. Now, I'd like to think Van Orden's true colors are shining through, Dom.
I mean, at least confirmed.
Van Orden has been pretty screamy, and, you know, he's trying to play the moderate. Someone told me.
What?
Van Orden was out at a farm the other day.
He was nose-to-nose with Senate, you know, interns that are 16, 17 years old screaming at them for being in the Capitol and taking pictures of the dome. Come on.
Like I said, he's moderated, Dom.
Yeah.
That's the good version. That's the, you know, haven't we all, after getting drunk with some constituents and chambers, allegedly gone out and just laid into some high school kids?
No,
give them hell to their faces.
Van Orden thinks he's the tough guy because he has a habit of yelling at minors.
844-967-2789. CJ has a habit of yelling at radio hosts. Welcome, CJ. How you doing, man?
I don't get enough chance or long enough to yell at you guys, but thank you for taking my call. I really wanted to talk to Melissa because, as they speak of, you know, women's rights for, you know, health care, I would like to know her restrictions, because I'm along the same lines as Nikki Haley, which very, you know, I've evolved to pro-life. But
because you've got ovaries, CJ, and you should have a say in a woman's right to choose control over her own body in what way? Because that's the fundamental question, isn't it, CJ? It's whether or not we have the right to choose someone else's destiny for their body.
Okay, what's your restriction this far? Are you up to 40 weeks?
Like whatever that Nikki woman's like doctor.
Up to 40 weeks?
CJ, no woman.
Are you up to 40 weeks? You're okay with that if that was your baby?
There he goes.
Child?
Yeah, see, I got. Oh.
Well, I'm just curious.
CJ?
What are your restrictions?
Well, I don't like being yelled at, so I restrict you right now. And you keep it up, you might get banned, you jacknut. But here's what I would say. No woman gets and carries a baby to term without something disastrous happening in the pregnancy, wanting a 40-week abortion. That's not a thing, CJ. And I know someone said it one time and you believe it, but you should get out more because people don't actually seek that. And if somebody's doctor tells them that this baby is malformed or there's something wrong in vitro or the baby has died, whatever the case may be, CJ, that's none of your damn business. I don't want your interpretation of what Nikki Haley thinks some woman can do with her body, dude. Do you understand that point? The fundamental problem, CJ, is it's not your body. Just my thoughts. Hate to yell at the audience like
844-967-2789. It's not your body, CJ. And where do you individually get the right to tell someone else what they must do with their body? You know what I mean? And to extend that question, where do the Republican Party, where do the pro-forced government birthers, where do they derive their authority to tell you, well, it's you can't have an abortion after this many weeks or that many weeks or this many weeks or those many weeks? Based on what?
Well, not usually science.
That power or that wisdom, CJ? You know what I mean? It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to the woman. It's up to her doctor. It's up to them. And they got to live with those circumstances, whatever they may be. That's up to them. Everyone makes their own individual choices. And what really surprises me is that the small government Republicans, quote unquote, would be so involved in forcing the government to go into your bedroom, go into your cabinet. And God forbid you got some birth control. They're coming after that too. To go into your doctor's office and dictate to them because CJ thinks this many weeks is just too long because I'm CJ and that's what I think. You don't have a say in it, man. You shouldn't have a say in it. And that's one of the big problems we have is a lot of older white men, CJ, think that they can dictate to other women, all women, how they must live. Women are second-class citizens in the state of Wisconsin as we speak right now.
844-967-2789. Kathy calling from Jefferson County. Welcome, Kathy. What do you got for us?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, guys. I get to listen to you quite often, and my blood starts boiling every time CJ gets on the radio because he, like so many other males in this country, are not understanding that this United States, the color of it, the politics of it, are changing. And it's because of the silent majority that he is, and every other male Republican, are afraid of what's coming. And we have been speaking to issues that are important to women, people of color, the gay cohort in this nation, and it's changing. And I get so tired of CJ getting on the air and making accusations that are so erroneous that he really shows his ignorance. Women do not get abortions at the late term stage in pregnancy. And where does he get off on this? He's showing his ignorance. And I get so tired of him doing this. I even turn your station off when he gets on because he's so biased for reasons that can only be because he's a white male that doesn't have an understanding of what this world, this United States, is changing. And he has to either get on board and change or let it go, because it's coming. It's change. And the face of our nation is changing. So that's all I got to say, guys.
Seemed like plenty, Kathy. You had
truth.
It is. Sister, you preach it. Thank you for your call and your listenership, Kathy. If only it impacted the desired audience member.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news about a guy like CJ is, you know, he speaks for, you know, until we get other Republicans. We get a few conservative callers here and there. We take all callers, 844-967-2789. But he gives a good cross-section. You want to hear what the wackadoodle mega conservatives are thinking today? Well, you don't need to, you know, take 10 callers from mega country. Just get CJ once in a while, and he'll get you up to speed. And to your point, Kathy, I think, you know, fundamentally, some of those folks, in some ways, just like here in the state of Wisconsin, where the political power is being pried away from the hands of the Republicans, guys like CJ and you know, older white men, they're not too eager to give up the levers of power, Kathy, and it shows in their politics.
He fears women. 844-967-2789. I suspect I know why. Dynamo Dave from Duluth. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. It's always fun to be on the greatest show ever. So I understand this Tommy Tuberville Senator is holding up the appointments of generals and stuff that Biden has appointed, and doing other monkey wrenching. And what I don't, so you remember 30 years ago, the commander in chief, President Clinton, on July 1st, closed 35 military installations across the U.S. Now, that was based on a report saying those are underused bases. But can't Biden, President Biden, as a commander in chief, turn around and tell Mr. Tuberville he's going to begin closing bases in his state? And
well, he already moved they were supposed to move Space Force down to Alabama, Dave, and apparently Joe Biden has rerouted those plans back to Colorado Springs, Colorado. That was the first domino to fall, I would say, predicated on the actions of Tuberville, the senator there that's got the hold on so many military advancements. They're not Biden generals. They're generals advancing through the ranks, only they can't take their senior leadership positions because one jacknut CJ buddy down in Alabama is blocking
abortion. Yeah, abortion. Crudy, abortion. Abortion. It's all about abortion.
Yes, yes. Thanks for clarifying that point.
Yes.
844-967-2789. Pete from Blue Mounds. Welcome, Pete. What do you got for us?
Hello, Pete.
Hello. I think the entire Republican platform is hypocrisy.
No one's disagreeing with you, Pete.
I mean, they get all worked up about the fetuses, but when you have little school children slaughtered, they're quiet as church mice.
They are, Pete.
But Pete, can hypocrisy exist if there is no shame? You know what I mean? If you have no shame, does it even matter whether or not you're a hypocrite? If you don't have any true core values, it's just a word, man.
See Scott Walker.
True. There is no bottom.
Well, they keep going lower, Pete. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Time for one more.
All right. Drew from Lake Mills, you're up. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, Drew.
Hey guys. For everybody who's losing their mind over CJ and Kathy, I hear you for sure. But you got to take him for who he is, right? I mean, he's a guy who likes to call up and stir the pot. And then sit back and listen to everybody's comments about him, and then he gets off on that. But what I do want to tell you is, like, listen, we don't ever have to worry about CJ and abortions or anything like that, because that guy can never get laid, and you guys know it, and I know it too. So we don't have to worry about him at all. That's all I got for you today. You guys have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Right, Drew. Thanks, I do man. Know it's true, Drew. And it's not so much how the man looks as the fact that he's ugly to the core.
I mean, he was 2022's Devil's Advocate's D-bag of the year. I mean, you don't get that kind of honor bestowed upon you without earning it.
I mean, he won that over Putin and Trump. Come back with us. We got one more fine guest today. She is Tara Johnson, a new entrant in the 3rd Congressional District race. She wants to be the Democratic representative that beats Derek Van Orden. More Devils.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. You can click on programs, download, listen to podcasts and interviews, find out more about the great products available at the Civic Media Network.
Dominic, we've got a fine guest. She's going to join us momentarily. Her name, Tara Johnson. She is a Democrat, and she's entering the 3rd Congressional District field. And you know we don't like the 3rd CD current office holder, Derek Van Orden. No, we don't like him, not a lot. She is the newest entrant in the field. She is Tara Johnson. Tara, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hi, Tara.
Thanks very much. Thanks, guys.
So, Tara, lacrosse is home for you. I understand you've served prior, little political background in lacrosse. Tell us about it.
My political background is 20 years on the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. So first got elected in 2000, beat a 12-year incumbent by, I think it was 18 votes or something really impressive like that. but have served on the county board since then. Until 2020. And the last 9 of those were as chair. And did not seek re-election in 2020 because my husband lied to me and told me he was retiring, and it didn't happen.
Oh, no. You made him the bad guy already, Tara.
Tara,
do you have a day job, quote-unquote, outside of politics? What's life look like for you?
Yeah, I am retired from the United Way system and from public service on the county board. Still very involved in the community, do a lot of board work, community foundation board. I'm on one of the family care entities, board of directors, and do a ton of work identifying, recruiting, training local folks here in La Crosse County to run for office, school board, common council, county board, town board, village board. We have a really strong progressive group of folks in local elected office here in La Crosse County. And I just remember how hard it was. I had no idea what I was doing when I ran in 2000 and have really enjoyed kind of passing on some of the wisdom and experience that I have had over the years. There's a whole group of us that helps do this work, and it keeps me very busy.
Well, Coach, it sounds like you called your own number on this one. Tara Johnson, she is our fine guest. She is a candidate, a newly declared candidate for Congress in the 3rd CD. And Tara, let's talk about the current guy that holds that seat, Derek Van Orden, that had been a Democratic seat under Ron Kind for years and years. And Derek Van Orden is a rookie congressman. And our every perception, Tara, this guy is very vulnerable. How are you going to beat him?
Yeah, maybe he beats himself because he's such an embarrassment, right? And he is so ill-equipped for the job. But really, the way we beat him is that we run on the values of the 3rd District, which is, I kind of think of myself as an all boats rise kind of person. And I think that there are a lot of values that are held by most of us in the third CD, and they are very different than the views and the actions of the current office holder. And so the way I win is talk to folks about that, listen to them, bring people together, just like I did in, you know, my county board days. And before that, I had a career in the United Way system, and remind everybody of what we hope for, and that we are not well represented by the current office holder. And what he seeks to do is divide. I am definitely a bring people together kind of person, and have a lot of experience that proves that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Tara Johnson, she's a candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Tara, what are some of the issues you think that people can unite around, even given the huge partisan gap that we have? What do you think are the common goals of the folks in the 3rd?
So a couple of things. One, I don't know your ages, but I'm 61 years old, and I am part of a generation that, for the first time in our country's history, will not be leaving the world in a better place for our kids and the generations behind them, right? Like, so the issues that bind us together are, I think, concerns around safety, environment, healthcare, and keeping people healthy. I would say specifically for me, reproductive rights is at the very top of my list. Again, at 61, I know what it's like to have access to full reproductive healthcare. We have a 24-year-old daughter who does not have those rights anymore. And I think that is wrong. And it needs to change, and we need to have national legislation that enshrines access to reproductive rights for every person in this country. Sorry, I'm rambling now, but you know, reproductive rights and healthcare are at the very top of that list. And again, issues around safety, clean water, clean air, those are at the top of the list as well. And I really do believe that the folks who live in the third CD share those values as well. That's definitely what I've been hearing.
And one quick question before I turn it back to Crudy. Were you in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, trying to stop the steal?
I was not.
Okay.
I was not. Nor was I in the rotunda of the Capitol a few weeks ago when Senate pages were taking photos to commemorate their time and service.
You weren't cussing at the kids? Tara Johnson, a newly declared candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Tara, it is sort of our tradition to ask candidates, what's your stance on legalizing cannabis? Where do you stand on that issue?
I definitely believe that cannabis should be regulated in the same way alcohol is. I know a lot of people who use alcohol and abuse alcohol, and we collect taxes on that. And to me, it's just kind of common sense that we are doing what, I don't know, what is it, like 31 states around the country now, maybe even more. Certainly every one of our adjacent neighbor states are legalizing, regulating, and generating tax revenue from that. That's my answer.
That was the right answer. Hallelujah, as we say.
Great answer.
If someone wants to support your campaign, how could they do so?
They should go to taraforwisconsin.com. So the word for FOR, so TARAFOR, Wisconsin.
Tara, thank you so much. Good luck with your campaign. Thank you to Melissa Agard. Don't forget, stick around. We got Maggie Dawn, the empowered caregiver, Liza Helenbrand, Rick Smith going nationwide. Keep it locked. Civic Media.